Second Chronicles chapter number 20. Second Chronicles chapter number 20. This morning, because it was Mother's Day and we had a bunch of stuff going on, I preached really short this morning, and we're going to the building. I'm going to preach short tonight. I feel like I shouldn't get paid for this week. Anybody want to put a second on that? You want to give it to you? Okay, you need it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to get out of here before 6 because we're going over for the prayer, but I just quit looking at your watch, John. I just added 5 minutes. Just kidding. I want us to be able to have some time to go through the building and pray together. So you listen fast, and I will speak fast. I love this story in the Old Testament. A couple years ago, I mentioned it. I preached a little bit out of it, but I want to look at it in a different angle tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we'll read verses 1 to 18. It says verse 1, it came to pass after this, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 1, right? Is that what I told you? Okay, good. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from behind beyond the sea that is on this side Syria. And behold, they be at Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah that came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? And gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but thou turnest from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And upon Haziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeriel, the son of Mathathaniah, all these guys, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, I know him, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken, all ye Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And let's pray together this evening. Our Father, we pray that you would be with us this evening. I pray as we take a few minutes and look at this very unusual story and how it all played out, that you would teach us a few things. Lord, may we learn how to trust in you like King Jehoshaphat did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In this text, we see King Jehoshaphat of Judah. He was a good king. He was a very good king. He would probably be mentioned in the same sense as we talk about Josiah, Hezekiah, of the later kings, except for he had one small flaw. He would go and align himself with the kings of Israel who were godless, and God called him on that. But other than that, he was a very good king. In the story, armies from Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir are coming to invade Jerusalem. Reports had reached Jehoshaphat how that a large invasion force had crossed and they were coming his way. So Jehoshaphat springs into action. Now, he doesn't completely spring into action the way we would think about springing into action. He does it in a very unusual way. He realized that any war they fought, because they were going to be outnumbered greatly by these enemies, they were going to need some tremendous help. As we read these verses, we see that they do get a victory from God. Later on in the verses, we see that God has these armies basically wipe each other out. And they get a great, great victory that day. But that victory that God gives them, and he declared here in the verses we read, was because of their pre-war activity. Part of that is based on the fact that they had unwavering trust. That was a big thing. Jehoshaphat trusted in God completely. They will end up fighting a very unusual battle, one that they don't even have to fight in. Now, as Christians, and primarily as a church, as we're looking at this from a spiritual angle tonight with the building, we have great battles in front of us also. Every day you try to live for Jesus Christ, that's a battle. The things we're trying to accomplish for God as a church here, that's a spiritual battle. And we must realize that we cannot win the battle on our own. We need God's help, and we need to have unwavering trust. Next week is a big, big week for us. As I've mentioned in the dinner series, and most all of you are to hear, well, the biggest thing that determines when we finish is having the money to be able to finish. And unless something happens miraculously, you know, someone drops $500,000 in I didn't expect. By the way, I'm good with that. Okay, as I mentioned, one of the things, Brother Treber got up and said, you know, boy, I wish someone would write you a check, but God has chosen not to do that. Well, calm down, Brother Treber. He hasn't chosen to do that so far. I'm hoping he's still choosing to do it, okay, to help us just to get the whole thing done. If not, we're going to have a great offering, and we're going to get to a certain point, but we need God to help us through this whole process to get finished. It's not just what we're doing. If we're going to have victory in any way to make a difference in our community and reach people that are in darkness, and it's getting darker every day, and the things we believe that even people that didn't go to church wouldn't have a hard time with, they have a hard time with that now. How are we going to do it? We need to have unwavering trust in God. But how do we trust God? Briefly tonight, let me give you five quick thoughts, and we'll go pray over there. We see, first of all, trust involved the prophet. If you have your Bibles, you can look back at chapter 19 of the same chapter. After he comes back from aligning himself with Ahab before the invasion of the Amorites and Moabites and Seir, he had aligned himself, and it wasn't a good thing, and God called him on that. Verse 2, and Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem and went out again throughout the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of his fathers. You see, trust always begins in, will we listen to what God is telling us? Here Jehoshaphat did wrong. He went out and he helped Ahab, and God tells him, listen, you're not even supposed to be hanging out with this guy. You shouldn't even be around. I think it was Ahab in one of the earlier battles was with him, and they wanted the prophet to tell him and tell him if God was going to bless him. The prophet said, listen, if Jehoshaphat wasn't even here, I wouldn't even pay attention to you guys. But he got rebuked by this, and you know what his response was? He took it. And he went back out throughout the land and tried to bring the people back to God. He took what was told to him. Trust is always attached to God's word. Always. Trust always comes from the it's anchored to the solid rock that is the word of God. Trust isn't some wild thing. And you could use another name for trust, could be faith, but trust is not some off-the-wall thing. So many people have a feeling and they blame it on God. Well, I just had this feeling, and I knew God was going to do something, and I put my trust in that, and it didn't happen. I heard a story many years ago of a lady, and she was a little more charismatic, and she wanted to go to church, and she went out, and her car didn't have any gas, and she felt the Lord impressed upon her to put water in the gas tank, and God was going to turn it into gas. She missed service that morning, and her car had more issues than it had before. That's not trust. That's weird, okay? God's not going to do that. Trust is always attached to the truth of God's word. So many people, when we hear God's word, if it goes against us, what happens? We have a tendency to get upset, or we just don't want to believe it, or it's not going the way I want. Here's the king, the top guy. And by the way, in my Bible reading, one of them, I was going through the history books, and I forget which king it was, and one of the prophets came and rebuked him, and the king said, Who made you my counselor? And pushed him off to the side. But Jehoshaphat listened. He was in tune. He was trying to be in tune. Although he was not perfect, he was trying to be in tune with what God said when God brought it his direction. Trust always goes with God's word. Everything we do, we should anchor it to the Bible. You know why we ought to give? You know why we ought to tithe? You know why we ought to be faithful in giving? Because God tells us to. Not because there's some emotional appeal. And by the way, we try to encourage you with what your giving dollars are doing and that God's using them here in a way. Fact of the matter is, we give because God tells us to. It's got to be anchored to his truth. Why do many of you serve in a ministry? Because God tells us to go serve him. And the way we serve him is by serving others. And we're not doing it for some feel-good experience, although it does feel good when you help somebody. We're doing it because we're serving the King of Kings. Everything we do must be attached to the word of God. Why do we live a certain way? When really, in a sense, people look at the way we live sometimes and say, you're kind of out of touch with reality. You're kind of out of touch with what's going on in the world. No, we're totally in touch with what's going on in the world. That's why we live the way we do, because we want to be attached to God's word. It's got to be attached to God's word. Trust always starts with God's word. The bottom line is this. The reason we don't follow God's word completely is because if we really had push comes to shove, we don't completely trust it. We trust, God tells us to live a certain way, and that brings joy, and we may give lip service to it, but we'll live another way because that we think that will bring us joy. And this world is getting darker. I heard this in Michigan. They're going to really soon, I think this week, they're going to vote on a bill for the public school system. Not just the bathroom bill, but in the Michigan public schools, you can choose where you want to go take a shower. So your little girl is in the shower room at the public school, and a boy can come in there if he wants. We're in a very dark world. The world that's disattached itself to the word of God, but we're Christians. Let us not be like that. How do we overcome all that? Let's trust in the prophet or touch in the word of God. Secondly, trust involves preparation. Go to chapter 20 now and look at verse 3. After he hears what's going on, he does something. It says verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You see, he takes the situation seriously, and now he is going to move to action. The fear he had was a healthy fear, a fear of what was coming on, not in the sense that, is God going to help us, because he went straight to God for help, but it was a fear that said, this is real. This is not something we can dig ourselves out of. This is not something we can do on our own. We better get our act together, and we better get God on our side. Preparation. His initial reaction moved him to have the proper action. There is always action that is required on our part. Yes, we're going to see that God's going to do something wonderful, but it is in response to what Jehoshaphat starts out to do. He fears. He starts seeking God. He brings the people together, and he's going to get them involved. He did his part, and we must always do our part. Everything we do must be a discipline. You know, we all like to say, God can do it. But are we willing to do our part? You know, when we come to the end of doing what we can do, that's when God kicks in. Because if it's only what we can do, then really we're not doing anything miraculous, and we don't need God. God deals in doing things that are above what we can do, right? That's how it works. So God says, I want you to be responsible and do your part, but watch what will happen when you do your part. I will do something that's greater than you could have even imagined. But we must be prepared. And he prepared himself. Next, we see trust. And this is really the crux, the next few. Trust involved praying. Praying. In verse 3, when he feared, he set himself to seek to God. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And then he got the crowd together in verse 4, and they came to seek the Lord, to ask for his help. Verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, thou art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that there is none able to withstand thee? By the way, I like listening to how these guys prayed sometimes. Like, now, Lord, this is not too big for you, is it? Now, you can handle this, right? Aren't you the one that said this? If you caught it earlier, I like what he said. He referenced back to when they were going, before they were going to the promised land, when they had a chance to fight with Moab and the Ammonites and wipe them out. And God said, you can't. I'm not going to allow you to do that. And Jehoshaphat says, now, Lord, you remember that we didn't wipe them out that time. You remember that? You didn't let us wipe them out. He's almost saying, like, Lord, because you didn't let us wipe them out, that's why they're at our doorstep right now. Almost like, are you going to do something about that? Now, he's not being presumptuous. He's telling God, listen, God, here's the situation. You can do something about it. You're the one that promised in your word when we opened the temple that if we had problems and we came to you in prayer, you would act. Didn't you say that? That's not being rude. How often when I've prayed for the church and the building, I'm like, Lord, you do remember, this is your work. We're doing our part, Lord, but this is your work. And we want you to get all the glory for this work. We don't want anything to happen here where someone could come in and say, wow, there must be a bunch of big shots in that church. There's nobody in this church, just us. If you could explain it by the people that work here, if you can explain it by the systems we have in place, then it's not really God's work. It's just good organization. But that's not what's going on. We want something when people look at it and say, God is doing something tremendous. That's what it's got to be. And that's what his prayer was. Lord, you do it. Isn't this your work? Isn't this your promise? God, you know, God takes that. I mean, it's like when, who was it? It was Hezekiah prayed when Sennacherib was sending him letters and threatening. And Hezekiah took this letter, this threatening letter from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, who had beat a bunch of different countries. And he laid the letter out before the Lord, said, now Lord, I want you to read this. Almost he would say, I want you to read this. This guy is talking, as we would say, he's talking smack, right? He goes, all the gods of these other countries couldn't beat me. He goes, now Lord, you know that those gods aren't real gods. Can you read the letter? Lord, you can do something about this. And you know what? God did. You know, like sometimes people like a challenge, right? Someone was telling me, Miss Sin was telling me at the volleyball game, our girls were down and they came back to win the match and Jackie was up there. And I don't think Jackie typically served. And it was like game point. And Jackie looked at her like, I'm going to serve this one. I like that. Now, I had a girl, the first time I coached our girls' volleyball team, I would sub this girl in to serve because she could serve. And we had champion, we went to the tournament, we were championship point. And it was her serve. I'm like, here we go, we're going to win the championship. I stick it in there. She looked at me like, I ain't doing it. I'm like, yes, you are. That other girl can't serve a lick. Go, get out there and give it a shot. We like people that take a challenge, right? You know what? God never backs down from a challenge. God likes it because the world can look and say, God did something. That's what the prayer was. By the way, he also mentions fasting. The point is, we need God. We need to trust him. I hope that you're praying next week. I hope that you're praying all next week. I hope you're going to fast with us if you are physically able to do that. I hope that also you'll just make it a part of your regular prayer each and every day for God to help us get the building done. That's what it's going to take. Trust also involved number four, and we're done in a couple minutes, and it involved the plan. It involved the plan. I won't read it for sake of time, but verses 13 through 17, after he gets there and he prays this prayer, they all just stand there silently. They're waiting for God to answer. And one of the prophets gets up and says, God spoke. You're going to win this battle. He goes, and it's going to be really good. You don't even have to fight. In fact, what I want you guys to do is go watch what happens. And he gives them the plan. He goes, you're going to go there, and you're going to watch, and they're going to wipe each other out. Just stand, have a good time, watch them kill each other. I'm going to take care of it. You will not need to fight. You know why they got the plan? Because they waited on God. They prayed, then they all just stood there. Finally, God spoke to one of the prophets. He got up and said, I got the answer. It's right here. How often do we rush ahead of God? And by the way, I'm a planner. I like planning, and I look at things like, what can we do to get it done? And we do that. But listen, sometimes we need to wait on God. Sometimes God maybe makes us wait a little longer so we know that it's him and it's not us. Sometimes God has a better timing than we have, right? I mean, come on. We want everything yesterday. I mean, we get irritated when we go to Taco Bell and it takes more than 2 minutes to get our food. It's like, 2 minutes? Are you kidding me? By the way, the best thing that would ever happen to you, you go to McDonald's and they don't give you the food. But that's how we are. We got to have it right now. Sometimes God's like, no, 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 my timing is not your timing. My plan's not your plan. Maybe they were waiting for God to say, you know what? Like Gideon, here, get this together and we'll have this plan and put them over here and let's organize this way. God says, you know what? I got this one, guys. I'll take care of it for you. All because they waited. Then the last thing is this. Trust involves praising. Look at verse 18. God comes back and gives them the plan. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Korites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. So here's what happens. God gives them the answer. They all start having a good time. They all start praising God. They didn't say, well, he got us out of this. They start praising him for what he's going to do. Now, we like to praise God for what he does after he does it, but they praise God before he did it. Verse 20, and then the next morning, they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, now he puts together a plan. You ready? He appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. He brought the choir with them and said, here's how this is going to work today. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to sing praises to our God. Look at verse 22. I find this interesting. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They all start fighting each other, by the way. By the way, that's happened several times in the Bible. When did God respond? When they started to praise him. Now, God had already said he was going to do it, but you know what the little switch that turned it on? When they said, let's have a choir meeting. Let's start singing to the Lord. As soon as they start singing to the Lord, God says, that's good. By the way, it wasn't some Christian Snoop Dogg that was singing. Okay, because God probably would have said, you know what? I changed my mind. You guys are going to lose. Okay? No, they're singing praises and they're praising the beauty of God and his holiness. And God says, it's time. And he wipes them all out. God likes praise. Sometimes when we're praying for things, and by the way, I'll tell you this because I am guilty of it. We're whiny. Now, don't look at me like that. You know, sometimes, Brother Pichardo, believe it or not, there may be some things going on, or, you know, maybe I looked at the offering sheet that week. Whatever's going on, something negative happens. I'm like, all right, Lord, we need to talk. That's whiny. And by the way, God's gracious. But you know what God likes? He likes when we praise him. Say, Lord, we have a problem. I get it. And Lord, we're going to do our part, but Lord, we know you can take care of it because you're the great God. You see, all these other people, they're worshiping false gods. Our society's worshiping humanity and immorality, but we worship the true God. And Lord, we know what you're going to do. Hey, let's praise the Lord. Whenever you pray, the first thing you got to do is praise God. You got to praise him. Why? He's worthy. And by the way, he likes it. And he tells us to do it. And we just ought to do it. So we're in tune with him. Trusting. Look, you can only praise God when you haven't received what you want yet because you really trust in him. And when you trust in him, your heart's in tune to it. So what happened? They won a great victory that day. Why? Started with Jehoshaphat going back saying, you know what? We need to put our trust completely in God. And we put our trust in God, God empowers us to do great and mighty things. Whether it's as a church family, whether it's in getting that building done, whether it's doing something great and mighty in my life personally, let's trust him completely because he is worthy to be trusted. Let's all stand.